This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cover our bases with our Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson. Good morning, Commish. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. And the Florida legislature they opened the session Tuesday, and you've already got cabinet meeting setting up. So can you give us sort of a run through what would a typical cabinet meeting go like, and what would be some of the things discussed?
Sure. No. So, right. We had opening day yesterday and the ceremonies and getting things kicked off, which was great. And then, so cabinet meeting today is going to be about, we have a lot of rural and family land projects. We have DEP bringing in some of their Florida Forever priority list to approve those purchases. And then a lot of what I would call just bureaucratic government things that has to be done. And I'll give you some examples. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to name our chair for our immigration council. We had the emergency cabinet meeting a few weeks ago. We're going to name the chair of that committee. We're going to put a new coordinator in for our clemency board. And then we're going to talk about bond refinance for the state and things like that. Those are the normal processes of a cabinet meeting that we have to approve to keep the state functioning and moving forward, whether it's bond purchases or repayment of debt or purchasing our easements and right-of-ways or allowing aquaculture leases to exist. So that's today. And then tomorrow we have clemency. So we'll have a people that we will be considering, obviously giving them clemency for, things that they had done in most cases in their youth. And so that'll be tomorrow, and that'll be a full week of activities.
Wow. I thought we were talking about oranges, but those are called clementine, aren't they?
Theirs are clementine,
so close,
not to be confused with.
Hey, is it true there are 19 divisions actually under you as the Florida Ag Commissioner?
There are. There are 19 divisions, about 4,000 employees. We have I've been on the job now 2 years as the Commissioner of Agriculture, and we have completely revamped our system. When we got here, there was about 15% vacancy rates. Now we're down below 6. We've made a lot of improvements. We were Doge before Doge was popular. My first year, we eliminated, I believe, 111 positions. And what we did was we took the money that was saved there, was about $6.5 million, and we plowed that back into our supporting the rest of our troops. And by doing that, we have a lot less turnover now. And so we have a lot more consistency and a lot more efficiency. But yeah, we're very proud of the not only efficiencies we've made here at the department, but also the way that each of those divisions are running their specific area. So we're very proud of that.
Do you think the governor's going to call for more cutting and more efficiency?
I know on the overall state government he is. In the world that we live in with our ag law enforcement, to give you an example, during special session on the immigration issues, we have an additional 84 law enforcement officers. So I think when we think about efficiencies, we do not think of them in terms of law enforcement and critical state concerns, I think. And by the way, we are trying to be more efficient there also. But clearly with population growth, it requires more law enforcement, more technology and things of that nature to track the criminal element in the state. But yes, we're always looking for efficiencies. And I'll give you an example in the Department of Agriculture, which obviously is my area of the world. We're going to be the first state agency in the country, according to Microsoft, to completely revamp its software. We should get that project finished by the end of next year. And since I've started 2 years ago, we will have completely revamped our software with much more user-friendly to interface with the public. All of my divisions internally can talk to each other and look at each other's work. It brings an amazing efficiency to the process. Through that efficiency, we will continue to have the need for less and less employees. The efficiency of bringing technology to the forefront and making sure that things are user-friendly. And so over time, my department would probably, over the next 3 or 4 years, probably be down another 5 to 8% of the population, you know, the headcount. And it'll be based on people retiring and doing things of that nature. But it's but yeah, we always are looking for ways to make things efficient. The governor, of course, is looking at a statewide picture. Generally, I'm looking, obviously, at just my Department of Agriculture. And again, we have about 4,000 employees here, so we're always looking to have better encounters with the public and make sure that we're doing it in an efficient manner.
How much re-education will be required for your staff members to be able to use the new software?
It's ongoing. So what happens is as we are building these processes, our teams are part of the building of the specialized software that we have to do. So we have already got, and I'm going to guess, 4 or 5 divisions that are completely on this software, and we'll have another 8 or 10 in the next 6 months, and then the last ones will be, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, or the first of the following year, we'll have them all on there. But there's a lot of training. But the reality is that it's so much more simple to use and user-friendly that the initial, you know, oh my goodness, I've got a new, you know, technology I've got to learn, dissipates very quickly. Within just weeks, our teams are very excited. And by the way, when I got here, no one was excited. No one wanted to do this. Of course, no one wants to have change, right?
Right.
But the only way we can become more efficient, the only way we can wring out costs, and not in not always just wringing out costs, but delivery. If you are looking for a license today, we have about a 99.9% delivery rate within just a few days. And so that is the customer experience for the Department of Agriculture has greatly improved in the last 2 years. And we're very proud of that. And that's from our hardworking, you know, employees here. And it's also from giving them the tools they need to do their job. And I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of times state employees get accused of being lazy or not doing a good job. And that's not true. In most cases, it's because they do not have the tools to do their job with. And so I'm about getting the tools and the technology they need to do their job with efficiently. And once you do that, then you can hold people accountable. But if you do not give them the tools to do the job with, you know, then it's hard to hold people responsible for a quality that would be demanded by our public.
Hey, let me ask you about eggs. You're probably tired of talking about it, but I guess 2 questions. Are we still destroying some chickens, some birds? And what's kind of the lag time? When can we expect to see prices maybe level out and drop a little bit or get back to some sense of normalcy in that industry?
Right. Well, no, that's always a good question. And so because egg farmers are, you know, despise the notion that the egg prices are so high also. Egg farmers do not want these high prices. We want to be able to supply our customers with a product and make sure that they're getting a quality and value and product. And so when you think about, this has been the worst avian flu outbreak we've ever had in history, but normally takes about 12 months to bring that price back down. And it will steadily, I believe, decline because we have not had seen outbreaks in the last few weeks. So as we do not have outbreaks and as summer comes, you'll have fewer and fewer. And the President Trump administration the other day said, I think they're going to put $500 million towards biosecurity and making sure that egg farmers around the country are make sure they have the right biosecurity and things of that nature. We've been blessed in Florida. AI is in Florida. I mean, the avian flu is in Florida, but we have not had any commercial flocks to this point break with the avian flu. So we've got a great biosecurity system in Florida. And to support that, if you Google this, about 6 months ago in the state of Texas, there was a dairy farm that broke out with AI also. And, you know, I immediately issued an executive order saying we will not take those lactating cows into this state, and you have to test those cows coming in. The federal government took about 6 or 7 weeks to issue that same order, and now there are about 8 states with dairy cows with the avian flu also, which means it's going to be there longer. Birds can go from the dairy farm to the chicken farm or any other bird farm and continue this process. So I know that the federal government's working on from a global perspective, but the state of Florida, working with our egg producers here in the state of Florida, have got a great program. And we're, you know, hope's never a strategy. I think we've got a great program, and hopefully we won't see any outbreaks of the avian flu in Florida. But until nationally it gets under control, you know, it's not going to get back to normal. But I would think a year from now, egg prices will be substantially lower. And if we're successful nationwide, you know, in 2 years from now, eggs will be very cheap again. I mean, they may be back down to $1.50 a dozen or something.
Oh wow!
Which, by the way, is below below the cost of producing them. But anytime you see a price spike like this, overproduction will happen in the next few years, and that's been the typical trend. The avian flu this time has done much worse than has ever done in the history of the country. And that's why you see the crisis you see today.
And we're not going to let any Chinese companies come in and buy part of that industry, are we?
In the state of Florida, we actually banned our foreign enemies from doing that. I think President Trump issued an executive order on this, but he may. But we need our Congress. What we need is we need our Congress people to get off of Fox News and go do their jobs. And they could pass a bill tomorrow that says our foreign enemies cannot buy agriculture land in the United States, and it'd be countrywide. And we look after the state of Florida, obviously, in our roles here, and they cannot do that in the state of Florida.
Right. I remember us talking about that. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, always a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you again. And good luck with all those cabinet meetings. Don't get a headache.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.